والأمثل فالأمثل، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, we are in the most sublime days of the Islamic calendar. The first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. And when a Friday falls within the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, a famous scholar in Islam, he says that yawmul jumu'ah fi ashri dhil-hijjah, that when Friday falls in the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, it is afdal, it is far more virtuous than Fridays outside the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, lijtima'i al-fadilain, because of two virtues. One, it is a day of Friday, and two, it is that day of Friday falls within the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. And the significance of these 10 days centers around Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, his son Ismail, and his wife Hajara radiallahu anha. And as the pilgrims move on tomorrow, and as we approach the day of slaughter, we need to internalize, think about two very moving pictures. Could there be a scene more moving, more pitiful, more difficult then the scene of a woman who has just given birth, left at the foot of two mountains, Safa and Marwa, with no human being in sight, just her suckling child with her, with hardly sufficient provision? Can there be a sight and a picture more moving than this lonely woman who's just given birth, who's in the burning sand dunes of the Arabian Peninsula, left to herself? How do we internalize, how do we feel, and how do we connect with Hajira radiallahu anha and a suckling child, Ismail alayhi salam, when they were left at the foot of these two mountains? That is one picture. The other picture is of this old man, over 90 years of age, walking from that same place to Mina with a child that is no elder than 10, 12 years old in one hand and a knife in the other hand. What a solemn journey. What an emotionally loaded picture that is, an old man walking with his son and a knife in the other hand. What is even more significant than these two incidents is the answers that each one of them gave when they were confronted with the challenge. When Hajra radiallahu anha was left with a child at the foot of this mountain, and Ibrahim alayhi salam started walking away, she ran behind him and said, "Oh Ibrahim, what is this? Where are you going to? Who's going to take care of us in this uninhabited sand dunes?" And Ibrahim did not answer. And again she went and asked him, "Oh Ibrahim, can you explain what you're doing? Why are you walking away from us?" And again he doesn't respond. And on the third occasion she asks, "Oh Ibrahim, tell me, is this the command of Allah that I should be left here with my suckling child all alone?" And he says, "Yes." And her answer was, "Idhan layyudayyana," in which case, if this is the command of Allah, he will never leave us to perish. That was the response of his wife. On the other hand, when he spoke to his son, Ismail, and said, "Oh my son, I've been instructed, anathbahuka, to put the sword on your neck," what was his response? He said, "Ya abati fa'al ma tu'mar, satajiduni insha'Allah min as-sabirin." That, "Oh my beloved father, carry out and execute the command of Allah. You, Allah willing, will find me from the sabirin, from the patient." So first look at these two incidents. A woman who's just given birth, left in the middle of a desert, no human being in sight, and her husband walks away. And then look at the son who's about to be slaughtered and says, "Oh my father, execute the command of Allah. If'al ma tu'mar." And then look at the third step, the third stage. What was the consequence of these unparalleled sacrifices? In the first instance, when Hajra and her son were left alone, it reduced the desert to cry tears of Zamzam. Those tears are evident till today. In the second instance, when Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam placed the sword on the throat of his son, it attracted a ram from Jannah. وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. We ransomed him with a ram from Jannah. The Zamzam continues till today, and so does the act of slaughtering continue till the end of time. We should be asking ourselves that how are both these instances, Hajra with a child left in the desert and Ismail giving up his life, how are they consistent with the mercy of Allah? Why this pain? Why this difficulty? Why are we living the sacrifice every year? Why are thousands and thousands of pilgrims reenacting the scene at Mina? Is there a higher purpose to our suffering and to our pain? How are these two incidents consistent with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, "Asa an takrahu shay'a." O people, there are many things that you detest. There are many things that you dislike. Pain, hardship, anxiety, difficulty. فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. But it is best for you if you only knew. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا. And there are many things that you love dearly, but they are bad for you. They are bad for you. In this verse, Allah says that the pain, the struggle, the anxiety, the sacrifice that you undergo during the journey of your life is good for you. Even though you detest it, where is this goodness? We should be asking ourselves, whenever we undergo, every human being, rich or poor, undergoes these trials. We should be asking ourselves firstly, is this happening to me or for me? Is this happening to me or for me? Is there a higher reason and purpose for what I am going through? Now let us look at the Quran and see how this pain, this struggle that every Nabi went through, how is it good for us? Allah says, وَبَلَوْنَاهُمْ بِالْحَسَنَاتِ وَالسَّيِّئَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. We subject people to adversity and prosperity. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. And the purpose of adversity and prosperity is that people may find their way back to Allah. The word is yarji'un, to return. In other words, as we journey through life, we sometimes lose our path. We sometimes lose direction. We lose our contact with Allah. We have less reason to turn to Allah, to cry and shed tears before Allah. And Allah says, when that happens, we subject you to adversity so you may find your path back. You find your way back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one reason of adversity, trial, hardship, is that it opens the door to the closeness and proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why every Nabi went through difficulty. It brought them closer to Allah. The other is Allah says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِي قَرْيَةِ مِن نَبِيٍ إِلَّا أَخَذْنَا أَهْلَا بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَضَّرَّعُونَ. That we subject you to this hardship and difficulty so that you may learn humility. So that you may learn humility. What does prosperity do for us as opposed to adversity? Prosperity, whether you're rich or poor, is not the issue. All of us go to hardship. Generally, there are exceptions, but generally, when we are prosperous, man by nature becomes arrogant. And when we are subject to hardship, it compels us and drives us to learn the lessons of humility. We become humble because of hardship. Prosperity makes us cowards. We become lazy. Adversity breeds courage in people. Prosperity on the one hand saps our will, our resolve, our willpower. And adversity breeds willpower. It gives us resolve. It makes us resilient. Prosperity on the one hand, prosperity makes us self-centered. We think about ourselves. Adversity makes us selfless. Prosperity makes us heedless. Adversity breeds the seeds of wisdom in our life. It makes us stronger. Your struggle builds your character. And that is why the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam had the best and the finest of characters, because they had to go through and difficulty after difficulty. So the pain you feel today is the strength you will feel tomorrow. It's not in vain. No experience is in vain. There's a higher purpose. It is meant to make you stronger, wiser, more resolute, more determined. It is to take you out from your comfort zone, and it is to draw you closer to your Creator. That is the context of the Qurbani. That is the context of the Hajj. Those are the lessons that we should be taking in these 10 days. And look at our lives, what we're going through, the hardship, the difficulty, the anxiety, and look at the life of Hajira. Look at Ismail alayhi salatu wassalam and learn the lessons of gratitude. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.